You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Welcome on campus to the Purple Project Podcast. On the menu, this podcast is all about the latest developments in Kansas State athletics. From football to basketball and everything else in between the college town of the Little Apple, it's the Purple Project Podcast. And now your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, finally, the rain is out of here in Manhattan, Kansas, and the sun was shining after a nice sunset. The Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 101, still getting used to saying it in triple digits. Welcome on board to this K-State Podcast, the Purple Project Podcast Weekly, all about all things K-State athletics. Recording on this Thursday night, May 26, 2022. Folks, before I bring on my co-host, usually for the podcast, Alex Aiden, of course, the Purple Project Podcast. If you're new to the show, welcome on board. You've been listening to us for a while. We thank you for your support of the Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Add this to your plethora of K-State podcasts out there as well. Jam-packed episode for you guys this evening, and I ain't gonna mess around anymore because we got a big announcement right off the bat. Let's go ahead and bring on my co-host usually for the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, none other than Alex Aiden, who lives, by the way, in San Diego, California. Alex, what's going on?
Not too much, Eddie. I'm curious about this announcement. I'll be learning with the listeners on whatever this announcement is. But all is good. All is good out here. Eddie, just get ready for the Memorial Day weekend. Obviously excited for that. I know we're going to talk about a couple of these things too, but there were just some interesting nuggets this week in the K-State world. First off, I know we're going to get into the KC Cat-Backers event there at the Children's Mercy Park there in Kansas City in the Sporting KC area, but the Sporting KC's complex, but the but man, there were some sound bites that came from for K-State. There was a few. And look, you know, I've been to those events in the past, Eddie, when I was in Kansas City. And look, when Bill Snyder spoke, it just wasn't didn't have quite the sound bites as this one did. Obviously it was a great event. It seems like everyone in Kansas City had a blast at it, and it looked like it was a ton of fun there too. And Drum Tang didn't really, seems pretty open and honest with the fans there. So I won't get into that. That was eager, interesting to hear. Also, I was listening to the 3 Mile podcast, as I mentioned before here on the KCSN, which is the Kansas City Sports Network, and they had Adrian Martinez on.
I listened to most of that. I got to go back and finish
great,
it. But
great, really good interview.
Yeah.
Really good interview, and I encourage you to check it out. Because I learned a lot about Adrian Martinez in that interview. I really did. I never seen that side of him until that interview. So I encourage you to go check it out. Really interesting. Breaking down when he was being recruited into his initial recruiting, what it was like going through the transfer portal. What he was looking at, they talked about NIL, they talked about a lot of really the transfer portal, really relevant topics in today's day and age, and kind of how K-State's navigated through some of it as well. And they've also talked about this year's team, too. So just really good interview. I encourage you to check it out. Eddie, as we also know, the baseball team, they're still alive.
They're still alive, man.
There's still a pulse coming from the team. I don't know how strong the pulse is, but there is a pulse. So there is still a pulse on May, as we record this, the night of May 27th, I think.
26.
I'm ready for Memorial Day weekend. Apparently, I'm just zooming ahead. But yeah, they're still alive. So it's good stuff for them. But eager to dive into all of it with you, Eddie. And also, Eddie, it is crazy to say, I'm with you. Episode 101, that's weird. It's going to take a while to get used to episode 100 and fill in the blank.
Yeah, still getting used to that, but man, it feels good to be this podcast getting where it's at. If you have not listened to episode 100 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly, I would encourage you to do that before listening to this one. And because this podcast continues to trend in the right direction here, big announcement coming for this podcast. All right, so getting to it, I wouldn't call it a sponsor, but we will. I got the official word this morning that we will be partnering up and promoting with the folks at the Kansas JCI Senate and Broken Studs Motorsports, guys, as they're going to be doing their inaugural show later this summer, August 6th, behind the car museum, the Dream Car Lot Museum here in Manhattan, Kansas. They're going to be hosting the Rally in the Valley 2022, their first ever show ever. So, exciting news for the podcast. I wouldn't call it a sponsor, but they want to partner with us to help spread the word out about this event coming in early August, August 6, 2022, behind the parking lot of the car museum. Everything will start, well, actually, registration will start at 8 in the morning. It will run through 11 a.m. for your cars. And, then of course, the awards will be following shoot at 4 p.m. Registration for your vehicles will be $10 per vehicle. And folks who are going to be coming out to this event, that includes those here in the listening areas of Manhattan, Junction City, Waumego, Kansas City, or even outside of the state as well. Spectators are free to come, so there's no charge whatsoever there as well. And of course, they're going to have a couple of the other events as well, like the Youth Power Wheel Show as well. An entrance must be 14 years of age or younger, and that's a cost of a fee, only $5, so easy, cheap right there as well. All entrants in this Youth Power Wheel Show event will receive a dash plaque and a free goodie bag as well. Who loves goodies?
I love goodies.
Yeah,
yep. I love goodies. I love swag.
All of it. Yep, and then, of course, because the Hot Wheels races will begin at noon Central Time. That's a dollar entry fee there as well. And that, according to the rule book for this event, is first come, first pick. Provided by Hot Wheels, and of course, all proceeds will benefit to the JCI Senate Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization. Scholarships as well. I did have a chance to. These flyers were flying around. How this got started, or the thought process, anyways, is I saw this, and I'm kind of a car geek, so I saw this flyer at my work. Figured, well, I have to come back to that. And then the thought process just came to mind, like, you know, I'm going to reach out to one of these guys, or I should say guys and gals that are participating, that are doing the work behind the scenes to get this event ready to go. So I contacted one of the folks that are representing this big event here in Manhattan come August 6th, and they just had a meeting recently, and they got back to me today saying it's all systems go. They love the idea. So the Purple Project Podcast, K-State Nation, will be partnering up with the Kansas JCI Senate and Broken Studs Motorsports Squad to throughout the summer months, all the way up to the event, to promote the Rally in the Valley. Alex.
Wow, the Rally in the Valley. How about that? There you go, Eddie. There you go. Look at this. You've got that. Next thing you know, they're going to be sponsoring us, and Eddie is going to be taking go home every time we talk to you. And it's just going to be a win-win. I'm kidding. No, that's awesome. That first off, that sounds like an amazing event. Had no idea about that in Manhattan. So, super cool. Super excited to promote that throughout the summer and let people know about that, and then hopefully in return, you know, more people will listen to the podcast, which already is growing. I just had a couple people ask me about it this week, Eddie, believe it or not.
Really?
And you know, so, but that's what it's about. You know, look, being able to, those partnerships are really, really beneficial. I actually work at a national nonprofit, a little different because, we are a national nonprofit and we actually work with government. Yeah. 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 Those a little different, but point being is partnerships like this can be really beneficial. Can be really beneficial for nonprofits to be able to get word out, especially when you're doing an inaugural event. And again, me putting my PR hat on, great deal for them. Great deal for us. So that's super exciting. Hopefully, people will show up to that. And you're right, Eddie. That sounds like that is right up your alley. I mean, that has Eddie Greer written all over it.
Yep. Yes, sir. So I'll definitely. Yeah, in return, also, we get people to listen to this podcast as well, so that's exciting from your end as well, that the word is continuing to get out. As I say, tell a fellow K-Stater or someone that loves college about this podcast, so definitely the word is starting to get out there for sure, so definitely excited about this partnership and continuing to promote this event throughout the summer there, and I will be... We're up for a sit-down interview with the three folks that are in charge of this event as well. So you won't be obviously be able to do that. I will handle that. So that will be a separate episode as well. Get a good feel of how this event came from those guys as well. So I'm very excited. A sit-down in-person interview with all three of the... folks, I'm just going to say their names right now, who are in charge of this event here. Derek Hoke, Lacey Lynn, and Marcia Toy. Marcia, who has been my contact for the last couple of weeks, really loved the idea of getting the promotion for our podcast. So kudos to all three of them for having us on board for the summer. So definitely going to be hearing a lot more throughout the summer as well. So very excited to kick off this partnership, if you will, here on this podcast.
So it's going to be thing, Ed. Wow. Those words made no sense. It just came out of my mouth. It's going to be good, Eddie. I'm looking forward to it. There we go.
There we go.
That is a normal sentence coming out of my mouth.
There we go. And we're looking forward, speaking of looking forward to, K-State baseball kind of on the repeating just about their same path as last year in the Phillips Big 12 tournament here. Of course, they faced elimination this afternoon after losing yesterday to Texas Tech, which last year they started off the tournament with Texas Tech, and they follow up with it. They just can't get away from Texas Tech. But anyways, lost to Texas Tech 5-3 yesterday afternoon down in Globe Life Field. Down there in Arlington, Texas, and then it came right back. And this is funny that K-State had to play West Virginia today, and they just got swept by this team, West Virginia, the weekend prior, and they end West Virginia's season today, beating them 8-5, thanks to a great performance from Blake Adams, huge on the mound this afternoon for them. And K-State, like you mentioned, Alex, still alive in this thing, and I do not have the score at the moment of this podcast right now, but they're going to be playing the loser tomorrow night at 7 between Texas Tech or OU. So I will try to get something. I will try to keep track try to find a score rather of this game here as we move along this podcast. Obviously, when this episode goes out tomorrow night, K-State will try to keep their hopes alive to try to stave off yet another elimination game. So,
sorry, go ahead, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they came into this tournament losing their last four games and no momentum. So, and that doesn't even count their first round loss to Texas Tech yesterday. So, you lose five in a row. I'm like, well, West Virginia season over, but somehow one way or another, Pete Hughes' squad, when it comes to this tournament, with their backs against the wall, know how to play with their backs against the wall, and it came through today as well. K-State, the record right now is still at 500 with 28-28. It's been that kind of year, but they stay alive. It's the most important thing here. Dylan Phillips, huge at the plate, three hits in this game, 3-for-5. And he drove in two runs as well. Blake Adams, as I mentioned in today's daily, pitched into the seventh inning, and at one point, Blake Adams was rolling, retired 12 out of 13 Mountaineers. Really, that was a huge key in this game for them. They needed to get good pitching from Blake Adams if they were to stay alive, and they did. Ty Rule pitched a shutout as well. The Mountaineers had a much better record, Alex, than we did. And K-State pulled a rabbit out of the hat and stayed alive in this game down here. As we take a look at the inside of the box score real fast here, K-State, your winners here, 8 runs, 12 hits, and played error-free baseball, rarity these days. But they left 11 men on base, so fortunate enough to get a win there. West Virginia, 5 runs on 6 hits, and they were just awful on the field. 3 errors committed, and he left 7 stranded there as on base. K-State went 3-for-10 with runners in scoring position this afternoon, and 3-for-11 with 2 outs. West Virginia was 5-for-14 with 2 outs. 4-for-14 with men on base. Dom Johnson and Mitchell both got some hits as well. Dom Johnson, who has been an absolute stud all year long for K-State, one of the probably the higher positives this year for K-State baseball.
Yeah.
He reached 4 times today with 2 walks there. The energizer bunny for this offense, I like to call him as well. So, Alex, we're still alive in this thing here, and I'm going to try to look up the current score at the moment, but K-State, once again, with their backs against the wall, knock out the West Virginia Mountaineers.
They do, Eddie. And you mentioned it, that West Virginia, they were a better record than K-State, much better record. And if anyone recalls, K-State played West Virginia to end the season in Morgantown, and they got swept. In fact, they got outscored 35-9 in Morgantown. So West Virginia beat the brakes off of K-State, 15-4, 15-4, and 5-1. So for K-State to be able to come back and get a win is pretty impressive by them. And to be honest and honest, Eddie, they competed with Texas Tech in that first game too, losing 5-3.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's a valiant effort against Texas Tech team that's ranked 8th in the country, is really just a power. I think the good news, Eddie, is that K-State is, they're no longer playing road games where they went 6-17 on the road. They are now playing some neutral games, so maybe that's helping them out. Seems like some magic happens when they get into the tournament, or at least last year it did. But
yep.
But no, it was good to see them get that win, and we'll have more time to be able to break down their season whenever it does come to a conclusion. But they're still going on. They still have a pulse, and they will play, as you mentioned, either Texas Tech or Oklahoma. I'm not sure who's winning that game or who's going to win that game, but either way, I think that they've got the ability to beat either one of those teams. They have not beaten Texas Tech this year, but they have come close a couple times. They came close in the first game in Lubbock that they played. They should have won the last game in Lubbock. That was just ridiculous in the ninth inning, coughing that game up and giving it to Texas Tech. And then they were competitive with Texas Tech in that game in the first round Wednesday. So, and then Oklahoma, they beat Oklahoma. They actually did beat Oklahoma in Norman, believe it or not, 8-7. One of the 6 road wins was against Oklahoma. So, they obviously have the ability to beat Oklahoma. Now, don't ask me, Eddie, what happened in the first 2 Oklahoma games, because K-State might have gotten outscored by a combined 24 points in the first 2 games against Oklahoma, but they won the third one, so they're capable of beating the Sooners. So we'll just see what happens there.
We'll see what happens.
We'll just see what happens with them. It seems like they have played Texas Tech more competitively, but they have not beaten Texas Tech. They got the doors just blown off in 2 games against Oklahoma, but they beat Oklahoma in one of the games. So we'll see what happens. You're right about Dom Johnson. He had been really the one constant for them all year. I don't know where they'd be without Tom Johnson, to be 100% honest. Yeah. It might be pretty ugly if they didn't have Tom Johnson. He's been a rock for this team, and you know, if they want to have a chance at winning yet another elimination game, they're going to have to come out, and they're going to have to play really airtight. You know, we've talked about it all year long, and it's been difficult for them at times, but it comes. Comes down to simply not making the mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, cut down on the errors. You can't walk batters. You can't hit batters. You can't give teams extra outs. You can't do these things. And also, you know, coming to the plate, you know, you can't strike out with men on third with less than two outs, right? You can't leave runners, you know, stranded in scoring position. You got to drive them in. You know, you got to find a way to keep the line moving. And like I said, simple things, but really important things that this team has struggled with at the time. So it's nice to see them cutting down the errors, which you mentioned that they have been doing a little bit better job of that. And they're going to have to do it regardless of whether they play Texas Tech or Oklahoma. They're going to have to play airtight baseball. And like I said, they've done it against both teams. They should have beat Tech, and they did beat Oklahoma, so we know they're capable of it. And we know that they've done this before. They did this last year in the Big 12 tournament where – they lost that first game, went to the elimination side of the bracket, and they caught fire, and they went all the way to the championship. So you never know, but we'll see what happens. This team is not on par with last year's team. If anyone was curious, like NCAA tournament hopes, last year's team went 34-23. This team's 28-28. last year's team also had three more. Last year's team also had three more conference wins, so I think that this team is going to have to win 30. Eddie,
I doubt it. They got to win. They got
to
win out.
No,
yeah,
they're going to have to win. So if they don't win, they're done. But look, they're still alive. They still got a pulse, and let's see what they do.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Presented by AutoFest 2022, Rally in the Valley, presented by Kansas JCI Senate and Broken Stud Motorsports, coming this August 6th, 2022, here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, Purple Project Podcast, Weekly Edition, episode 101. Yes, Alex, I do have a current score right now of this game right now, finally. Texas Tech is losing to Oklahoma, bottom seventh, 6-1 right now. It's 10:30 Central Time, according to this podcast. So it looks like preventing a dramatic self-destruction of OU here. It's going to be another Texas Tech battle tomorrow.
That's how it goes, man. It's always Texas Tech.
So, K-State.
It's going to be their fifth game against them.
Yep. How in any... That doesn't even count how many times last year that K-State played Texas Tech. They played them in the opener, and they played them, two more times. They beat them.
I think they played them five times last year, too.
Yep, they beat them the second time, and then came slightly short. They got blown out in the doubleheader there. So this is a double elimination format in this tournament there. So right now, all roads looks like preventing a self-destruction of the Sooners. A rematch of yesterday's first round match for K-State. So K-State goes back for Osaka, right? You can't get rid of them. So we'll see what happens there as well. So K-State gets a huge win there. Their record 20-28. And yeah, last thought here before we go to the football schedule here. Yeah, they're gonna have to win out. That's just plain and simple. There is no NCAA tournament this time around, like we were talking about last year. All the hopes and we got a shot at this thing, and we got snubbed out this year. We can't even say that. So So, anyways, transition into the gridiron now, as we do know, and we talked about this a little bit. I believe either the last episode or the week. No, we had Eli Anderson the week before. I think we talked about this a little bit with the guessing of primetime games of the schedule. So how about this? So we know the first three games, time-wise, announced earlier today there as well. I'm just going to go right to it here, folks. Obviously, the season opener here this fall for K-State football and Chris Kleiman's fourth year here at Manhattan, Kansas. South Dakota,
6 Central Time there, and it'll be televised by our friends, Alex, at the Big 12 Now ESPN Plus there as well. So you don't have that. You guys can't attend the game. Make sure you are subscribed there as well. And then, of course, here, let's see. Also, the same streaming service, ESPN Plus, will have the Tulane game. That's the third game there, September 17th, kickoff just after 2. And then the old rivalry, Missouri. Ew. The kickoff time there, 11 a.m. there. And, of course, this will be nationally televised, as it should be. ESPN2 will carry this game. That is the week before Tulane. So, Missouri, full Missouri, coming here to Manhattan. Much anticipated September 10th, 11 a.m. kickoff right there. So, we do know the first three games time-wise there. Of course, with the season premiere in prime time, 6 p.m. there with South Dakota. And they have Missouri coming to Manhattan. That's going to be, I'm looking forward to that. Despite the time, I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, Tulane, your afternoon kick just after 2 Central Time. We talked a little bit about this before I hit the record button, Alex, and you're going to be one of those games. I think you said the Mizzou game, you're going to be on a plane.
Yeah, delightful. yes. You were correct, Eddie. I will be on my way to Phoenix, Arizona, to actually see the Chiefs play. The Chiefs play on Sunday, all week one of the NFL against the Arizona Cardinals. So, going there with some family, some friends, and gonna watch the Chiefs Cardinals. Look quickly about the Chiefs, Eddie. They're playing the NFC West this year, so they're kind of doing like the West Coast. They're on the West Coast this year. Phoenix, right? They're up in the Bay against the 49ers, and then obviously they're playing the Chargers down here in L.A. I mean, there's like 3 games close, and look, Eddie, I got like a gazillion airfare points to burn through right now, and hey, if you want to go to games, I'll go to games. Like, you can come out here west. So I'll be just catch some quick flight over to Phoenix Saturday morning. And do a kind of couple, 2 nights there. But it's okay, Eddie. It's okay. I can catch the game. I can catch the game on flight a little bit.
That's why they do it. Yep.
And that's why they put Wi-Fi on now. But looking at the schedule, Eddie, it sucks it'll be traveling. But you know what? I was traveling during the Mississippi State game 1 year. It was actually the bad Mississippi State game. The one in Manhattan where K-State just got doors blown off.
That was
bad. That one I was also on a plane for. That was not enjoyable.
I was
on a plane for that one. I didn't need to be anywhere else.
Don't get me started with that.
That was a gross game. That was just a gross game. I don't know how else to put it. But look at the schedule. I think I predicted the Mizzou game, actually. I think I said Eddie was going to be an 11 a.m. kick.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like an 11 a.m. kick. One of those games that would be on ESPN2 or FS1 or something like that. And lo and behold, that's exactly what we got for the Mizzou game. So that I called it. I knew it. It was so predictable. I mean, it was like, I don't know. It was like predicting what Bill Snyder would do in a football game. I guess it's predictable, man. Like, you know, not a shot at Bill Snyder either, by the way. But look, we knew what he was going to do offensively. But looking at South Dakota and Tulane games, South Dakota game, also, you can call that for a mile away, Eddie. We know what happens. K-State, they start every home game with 6.
Yep. Yes, sir.
It never
yep.
fails. It's what they do. It'll always happen. And that was also predicted from Iowa. The Tulane game was the one that I wasn't exactly sure about. So to get a 2 o'clock kick on that one, good time. Also on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and as you mentioned, this is the day and age, Eddie. This is the day and age that we're in. You know, streaming platforms, more and more games get broadcast on it. And I got news for people. There's going to be a Big 12 game or 2 that's broadcast on ESPN Plus as well.
I guarantee it. Yep.
You may hate it. I'm not disagreeing, but you don't have a choice. Like, if you want to watch them play football, and you really want to watch them play basketball, because like a ton of their games are on ESPN Plus now. You got to pay the $5 or $6 a month or whatever it is. But Tulane, I actually think Tulane's gonna be an interesting game, Eddie, because Tulane, they've had their moments. They've had their moments in football where they've been a good program. I don't think that they had a very good year last year. But I also recall them almost beating Oklahoma and Norman last year. So,
ooh, yep.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
So Tulane, that's.
I thought they were going to upset them. I thought they were going to upset them there for a minute.
I thought they might as well. And Tulane has done that before. They've done that before. They haven't necessarily been a consistent winner or anything like that, but they've pulled those upsets. They've done that before. And so that's not a gimme. I think K-State will win it. I wouldn't lump it in like I did that Nevada game. I thought that Nevada game was going to be like legit tough last year. I don't know if I'd put this Tulane game on that level, but I would definitely put it on the maybe like the Arkansas State level. Like, remember going to the Arkansas State game? It was like, oh, K-State should win this game, but if they
do not remind me,
if they screw around too much, Arkansas State can beat them. Like, They won't be able, it's not like they'll be able to be like, oh, we're going to screw around for a couple quarters and then we can come back and, you know, we'll be fine. We'll just,
I think,
you know, make it up late.
I think that was the first year of the, part of the first year of this podcast, I think, if I remember.
It was. I remember very well. I remember doing the game preview of that game, and then I remember us doing our first post game after that game as well. And to say that you and I were heated, we're probably an understatement because, who was that receiver with Arkansas State?
He tore us up.
Shredded K-State. Oh, yeah. My God.
That was a one-man wrecking crew right there.
That was awful, man. They couldn't stop him. I mean, A.J. Parker, who, by the way, is playing really well with the front lines, but he could not stop him to save his life. And you were like, dude, I'm bit, like you were mad at A.J. Parker. You're like, what are we doing? Is he taking us back? Anyway, point being, I would compare them to Arkansas State. Arkansas State isn't the same threat that, like, Nevada was last year with Carson Strong and that slew of receivers and, like, what they had there. Like, that was a legit tough game, in my opinion. I'm not saying that Tulane won't be tough. I'm saying K-State should be Tulane the way they should have beaten Arkansas State. But if they come out flat or they overlook them, Tulane can, I think Tulane has the ability to flat out beat them. Because that was just OU. They almost did it to OU. They can do it to you. So, look, that's just the truth. No offense to K-State, but K-State's not OU. So, we beat them a lot. We do beat them a lot. I'll give us that. We beat them a lot. But there is a little bit of a gap. Although, maybe it's dwindling with Lincoln Riley gone. But either way, Tulane game, that'll be an interesting one. So, I'm kind of intrigued to see how that one goes, especially coming after the Missouri game, Eddie, because, you know, K-State's going to be ready for that game. Do they have a letdown? Because think about it. You've got Missouri. It's sandwiched between Missouri and Oklahoma, that Tulane game. And it's set up. It's got trap written all over it. Emotional game against Missouri. First game of the year at Oklahoma in Big 12 play. And they just sit in the middle of it at Tulane game. So it's just,
yeah,
it's kind of set up as a trap game. Little weary of that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But we're ready to roll. We know when the first three games are going to be now.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And for those tickets, season tickets are on sale right now for the 2022 football season. And they start just at $22 per game, a.k.a. Deuce Vaughn and Daniel Green. all season tickets prices at Bill Snyder Family Stadium remain unchanged for this year. That includes the $150 view level season tickets and $199 season tickets for young alumni. Season game tickets will go on sale to Ahern Fund members on June 13th. That's a couple weeks out. And to the general public a couple of days later on June 15th. Fans can order tickets online. Go to kstatesports.com/tickets for more information, or you can call phone 1-800-221-CATS. or at the main ticket office inside Bramlett's Coliseum. There's your plug right there. Pretty sure I'll be saying that this summer as we are approaching Memorial Day weekend and already the month of June around the corner. Real quick, Missouri, our good old buddies, hint, hint, finished the year last year 6-7 overall, 5-2 at home, but they were awful on the road, 1-4 on the road last year. So, yeah, they'll have to come here. So, they're gonna be, everybody's gonna be ready for that game, hopefully. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that game right
there. Will you be there, Eddie? Will you be in the crowd?
Will I be there? Right now the plan is we will be there. Changing anything else, I'll have to double check the schedule to make sure of it. But as of now, we plan on being out to the field at Bill Steiner Family Stadium with the rest of our friends at Purple Nation. So,
there we go. I like it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. So there is that. You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 101, rolling along here on this Thursday night. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, moving on, transitioning to ourselves from the gridiron now to the Catbacker event that Alex talked about early in his podcast tonight. Got some good lines coming out of here. The one that I take up, and I'm pretty sure there's some more. Alex probably has some quotes out there as well, but the one I take, obviously, we've talked about this quite a bit recently here on the podcast, is the fact, obviously, Bruce Weber is out. Jerome Tang is in, and I talked about this a little bit, I think, this week on one of the dailies. About Jerome Tang and him bringing in, even though he's kind of swung and missed, but he's bringing in bigger talent, 4-star, 5-star, even here and there, 5-star recruits to Manhattan. That was something Bruce Weber wasn't able to do. And even though Jerome Tang pulled Bruce Weber, praised Bruce Weber, and then he put Bruce Weber under the bus. he said Bruce Weber said he was a good coach, but he wasn't able to bring here the talent. And Jerome Tang said, I'm here to bring on better players than Bruce Weber. I had a laugh at that, and I'm all for it. Listen, like I said at Daily, I am all for it. You were brought here to Manhattan to get this basketball team back to where it needs to be, right? So I have no problem with what he said there. And, yeah, I mean, Bruce, the track record, obviously, we can't dismiss. I know we're coming a broken record, but, you know, the two Big 12 championships that Bruce gave us was awesome. And, you know, including the Elite Eight run, which obviously we'll never forget that. But, you know, the last 3 years have been just, you know, declining badly. And, yeah. And also, more importantly enough, you're not getting really outside the students showing up to these basketball games. Nobody else is coming to these basketball games. So that's the big thing for me. Nobody else is coming to the basketball games here at Bramlett, and that has to change. And Jerome Tang is trying to, what's that word? Elevate this basketball team back to where it needs to be. And, you know, he's definitely not afraid to put himself out there, and I am all for it. So that's my favorite take from the Catbagger tour, obviously there. So definitely, obviously what our friend Eli talked about in episode 99 of the podcast there. I mean, we can't really judge him too much until we see some activity a little bit of how he runs his practices. Now, again, we're not too close to the team like we once were when we were covering basketball/football teams for the Wildcat 91.9. The student radio station on K-State campus, for those who don't know. So, but from the sort of the outside looking in, we're just going to have to see how he runs things a little bit. And obviously, we've heard the stories, obviously. Keem McClure, he was on the podcast a couple months ago with Fitz there. I liked that episode there.
Yeah.
And the stories
He experienced with Jerome Tang there as well. So Jerome Tang's one of those guys that he's going to get after you in practice. They're trying to make you better. And that's why most of the roster left. Left there for Bruce Weber, because they didn't want none. They didn't want to report part of it, so they're all gone. Well, obviously, highlighted by Nigel Pack, the last true recruiting class there for Bruce Weber there. All of them are out. With Davion Bradford, Wake Forest, San Miguel, South Florida, and of course the big news so far from the basketball team, Nigel Pack, you know, signing that NIL deal with LifeWallet and taking a spot for Miami, which Miami came coming off of an Elite Eight run, which, by the way, Adrian Martinez mentioned NIL in the three-mod pile there, which was really good. Again, I'm going to finish it tomorrow or this weekend at some point. I listened to most of it today while finishing preparing for our podcast. But yeah, he said, found it interesting. And I know I'm kind of bouncing from here, from north to south a little bit, but he said that, you know, even though he had his good experiences with, you know, trying to understand what NIL means and whatnot, but it just wasn't for him, which was quite, I didn't know that. Talent like him coming to K-State, choosing K-State over the NIL is nowadays, you know, everyone wants that big money, you know, that big old contract, right? So that's what I took out of that was, wow. I mean, you passing up that to come to K-State and you want to win games. I mean, that's the quote-unquote old school how to do it, not take, for in my opinion anyways, not taking the big money deal and, you know, and then playing for college, because, you know, the locker room also is what I'm getting the feel of it as. What a locker room, and how if you have this big contract with some big sponsor or whatnot and the rest of your team doesn't, how is your teammates going to look at you? That's kind of the one things that I'm wondering about. So I'm sure we'll talk a lot more as the summer goes on there as well, but Jerome Tang definitely made a statement there with that comment on Bruce Weber, and I'm sure Alex has some more. But Alex, what were your thoughts on a entertaining Catbackers event?
Yeah, definitely. And quickly, just to piggyback off of that, Adrian Martinez and NIL you're right. Yeah, you know, he said it there in the podcast. He said, I pretty much told teams don't give me a selling point. I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear the NIL selling point. Like, I just, he told K-State, he told the others that, you don't need to give me that presentation. That's not what I care about. Like, I don't need, you know, I don't need that. And he admitted, hey, you know, yeah, with young Adrian Martinez, you know, four-star recruit out of high school, would it have been something that he prioritized? Yeah. I'm not going to lie. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been something that would have been a priority probably for me at that point. But at this point in the career, I just, it's not for me. I don't get it. It's stressful. And he also talked about, you know, K-State players and kind of, you know, players who might have NIL deals. And he talked about, you know, there being not any issues in the locker room. And it's because, you know, guys that are making NIL money, they're busting their tails. And if you're busting your tails and making everybody better, making the team better, that's all the team cares about. So interesting to see. But as we saw the flip side of that, when Nigel Pack got a huge deal at Miami, one of Miami's players, agent, which that tells you all you need to know about college athletics, that they now have agents, some of these players. Their agent said if they don't get a deal better than Nigel's, they're going to transfer. And it's just like, oh my gosh. So, you know, it's a mess. And ironically enough, Adrian Martinez also admitted that and said it's out of control. And
yeah.
You know, there needs to be legislation around it. And he's right. It is completely out of control. And you are right, Eddie. There is a ton for us to unpack in NIL as summer goes, because it's just such a massive, massive thing that is really just hovering over college athletics and creating a whole new dynamic. Because, I mean, K-State's got an NIL foundation now, you know, and they're doing everything they can to try to really sweeten the pot as much so K-State can be more competitive on the recruiting trail.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And based on everything I've heard, is that K-State's actually in a decent spot right now with it. And remind everybody, this is legal. This is no longer illegal. if it's coming from you know, name, image, and likeness, third party outside of the university. Whether we like it or not, I personally am not. I'm 100% for players getting their money. 100% for name, image, and likeness. What I don't like is the fact that it's kind of being used a way that it was not supposed to be used. It's being used to recruit rather than benefit from your play on the field, right? Make profit from your name, your image, and your likeness at a university. So, anyway, we can get into that another day.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this, though. Drum Tank did mention NIL when talking about recruits at the Cav Akers event. It's actually a good segue going in here. He did say that he's not looking for players that are necessarily looking for, you know, the biggest NIL deal.
He
wants players at K-State. In fact, what was his exact quote? I want guys who care about basketball, not what they can get because of basketball. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to put it. I want guys who care about basketball, not what they can get from it. You want someone who's got passion about basketball. Someone who wants to go, kind of like Adrian Martino was saying on that podcast, go win games. You know, go put themselves in a position to do what they love. And, you know, you could go somewhere chasing what basketball can get you, and just be miserable for however many years you're there. You know, you want someone who wants to be there, enjoys Manhattan, enjoys the university, and wants to play the game they love. And that's what it's about. And again, nothing wrong with what Nigel did. Nigel didn't do anything wrong going down to Miami and getting $800,000 in the car. That's a great deal. Phenomenal deal. But that is what's wrong with the game. Yeah, I mean, not wrong with the game, but that is what's... I'm not going to say that's not what's wrong with the game. That's what's spiraling out of control a little bit, is that type of thing. Because all of a sudden you've got the $800,000 in a car, and you've got the glow balls, right? And then you've got, look, Eddie, just look at last week, what we briefly talked about with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher brought to...
Brawl
over NIL, man.
Players,
and Texas A&M saying, well, you should sanction Alabama because they're accusing us of cheating. And then Nick Saban saying, how the hell did you get the best recruiting class in history? Because you bought every player. And then they're just like, and it's just like, oh, my gosh. Everybody just calm down. Good grief. So, NIL's wild. It's a wild, wild west. I think that's the best way to put it. And Jerome Tang doesn't want to play the game. He'll play the game. Don't get me wrong. He'll play the game. And K-State will give out NIL money. Not K-State. Third parties will give out NIL money. But he wants players who care about K-State and care about basketball. So, I thought that was an interesting nugget. He talked about. But getting back to your Bruce Weber one, that was definitely the most interesting nuggets that I thought. Actually, I don't know if most interesting is the right word, because I think we all knew that. I think we knew that. I think it's the fact he said it. I think that's what was the whoa. Like, okay, like he actually said that, like, out loud at an event, like, not to his wife while they're cooking dinner, like, wow, okay. Like, he said in a public setting. That was what took me, kind of took me by surprise, was the fact that he said it out there, but he's right. It's the truth. I said it when Bruce left. I was really grateful and appreciative of everything Bruce did. Bringing two Big 12 championships and the Elite Eight run. But look, Eddie, I think it was clear that, you know, college athletics is evolving so much. And Bruce wasn't necessarily evolving with it. And he also always kind of struggled to recruit at K-State. And he was able to get guys to win a Big 12 championship and make an Elite Eight. He knows how to develop guys. And Drum Tank said he's a really good coach. And he is a good coach. I do think he's a good coach. I thought the biggest problem was the K-State just didn't have Power 5 caliber players
late in
the Bruce Weber tenure. That was the biggest issue, I thought, and that's why when they all transferred out, almost all of them went to non-Power 5 schools, because they're not Power 5 caliber players. And again, that's no shot at them. It really isn't. It's just, that's not the type of, those are not the type of guys that K-State needs if they want to be competitive in this uber competitive Big 12 conference. And to take it a step further, Jerome Tang said this as well, which is also an interesting quote. He said when he got here, there were three guys on the team that he looked at and said, they can help us win basketball games moving forward. And two of the three stayed. They were able to keep two of the three, Marquise Noel and Ish Massoud. So I'm assuming the third was Nigel Pack.
Yeah, I was seeing that.
Essentially, he's saying everybody outside of Nigel Pack, Marquise Noel, and Ish Massoud, in case they wasn't, should keep it up. They didn't want – I that's pretty much how I read that. They were just like, you probably should transfer. We want to elevate the talent. You don't meet
I doubt it.
Requirements.
I wouldn't doubt it either. Yeah.
It's like I said, it was interesting again. Interesting. I knew that. A little surprised you said it out loud. But okay, but I appreciate the transparency. I appreciate the transparency of this speaking engagement. So those kind of tied in together with me a little bit. Was the fact that, you know, he mentioned that over Schweber and mentioned that about the players. Like I said, I think Ish, Marquise, and Nigel and Mark Smith, I mean, they were clearly the four best players in K-State last year. I don't think you're ready to deny that. I think Mark Smith would have been in that group, too, if he had another year.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, he obviously graduated and moved on. Either way, that was an interesting quote. And it's just a couple others, Eddie. Some K-State fans, we talked about this last week, too, with K-State basketball recruiting. And how things kind of slowed down, and they're kind of in a dead period right now. Mm-hmm. And Jerome Tang said that K-State, he said, don't worry. He said, if K-State has 11 scholarship players and don't fill out the full 13, he said, don't worry about us. We'll be fine.
Yeah, yep. I read that. Yep.
Okay, cool. So I will not worry when multiple scholarships are open and the season begins. So... but he also did say, though, that he expects K-State to, once the NBA draft process goes and the deadline hits, which I believe is June 1st, when players pull out of the NBA draft process and come back to college and go back into the transfer portal, that's where K-State is looking to fill out the rest of those scholarship players. Kelis Robinette said something about K-State had a couple players they were targeting. They were going after behind the scenes, but ultimately they kind of fell through because they didn't feel like they were just going to be quite the right fit for K-State. Jerome Tang is hoping that the recruiting will pick back up as transfers withdraw from the NBA draft. So that's from Kelis Robinette. Just a little update on that. Also got that nugget there too. Those were really kind of some of the some of the biggest nuggets from Jerome Tang. Did not let loose. He was open. He was honest about the basketball program. He also said, for anybody curious about the jerseys, the new uniforms, he is open to new uniforms, new basketball uniforms. He said it's all up to the kids. He said we had multiple combinations of uniforms at Baylor because players liked it. He also said he loves the lavender because his wife loves it. So that's the correct answer in the household. But I love the lavender too, Coach Tang. I love the lavender too. So interesting. Interesting to hear there, because people are always curious about uniforms. What's the latest thing in uniforms? And he mentioned it. He said at Baylor we had multiple iterations of the uniform because of what the players wanted. So, look for that. We'll see if they have any uniform changes. But interesting stuff. And let's remind people, Eddie, too. I think it's important for people to understand that K-State and Bruce Weber, well, on the public surface, it looked like a relatively clean, and I don't even know if it looked relatively cleanish breakup on the surface. They tried to make it look clean on the surface, but it seems like there's some pretty hard feelings based on what I've seen, at least on Bruce Weber's side, kind of towards K-State. And so it doesn't stun me to hear, from that perspective, hear it, just because, again, Bruce Weber is admired, he's respected, and I know that Jerome Tang respects and admires the job that he did. He talked about what it was like to sit in that office for the first time and think that it had been Bruce Weber for the last 10 years, for what an honor it was. So I know that he loves and respects Bruce Weber, but look, it wasn't necessarily the cleanest breakup. It wasn't. I don't think we ever thought it would be. It usually isn't. And there's some animosity, particularly on Bruce Weber's side. So who knows what that looked like behind closed doors. We're not obviously not privy to that, but Jerome Tang, he's a straight shooter. It's what he did, he told it the way he saw it, and really wasn't worried about any of the repercussions for it, because 100% honest, we all knew it. So it'll be interesting, though. Jerome Tang's got to back it up. I think that's kind of what I'll put a bow on it. He's got to back it up. We talked about that with Eli as well. It's great to come out and say these things, and we can be like, oh, yeah, we agree. But if he goes out on the court and K-State finishes ninth in the Big 12 again, Jerome Tang's going to look a little dumb. I don't know if we'll hear Tang Gang as much as we're hearing right now. K-State finishes ninth in the conference, not saying that they will, but you got to back it up. You got a little swagger. He's got a little swagger in his step. He's walking, and he's got to back that up now. And look, this case that with the Big 12, heck, they even need to finish in the top half of the Big 12. No, it just needs to be competitive in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been competitive in the Big 12 the last 3 years. But he still needs to be competitive in the Big 12 to back this up, and at least be in tournament conversation. That's kind of the step for him. But we'll see if he can do it. As I mentioned to you before, Eddie, I remain optimistic in the fact that K-State will be a competitive team. Will it be a competitive team? I don't know. But I would doubt it, because I still think they're going to lack some talent this year, because I think it's going to take a couple years. Because I think the K-State needs to – they're going to have to show some recruits something. I think part of the reason they struck out, Eddie, is because – this is a team that has finished 9th and 9th. I can't remember, but 9th or 10th, 3 straight years. Recruits need to see a little bit of winning, and I think that may be part of the reason.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think if they back it up in the court, they can start landing a few of those recruits that they have gotten close, they haven't quite been able to land. So, again, don't think that they're going to be necessarily a top 3, top 4 team in the Big 12, but you got to be competitive, right? You've got to finish better than 9th in the conference, and you got to be in the NCAA tournament discussion. That's just kind of what he needs to do to back it up. And if he doesn't, the honeymoon phase can turn to something different pretty quickly. But I am optimistic in him and the job that he and his staff can do. I think they've already elevated the talent level here, and now it's just about coaching them up.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Presented by the AutoFest 2022, coming to Manhattan, Kansas, August 6th, with their inaugural show, Rally in the Valley, August 6th, behind the Car Museum here in Manhattan, Kansas, the Dream Car Collection Museum behind the lot there. Big event coming up, obviously. I already talked about it a little bit at the top of the podcast tonight, and you will hear it throughout the rest of the summer, right up until the weekend, of course, and I will be making my way out there as well. Of course, that event is presented by the Kansas JCI Senate and Broken Studs Motorsports as well. Definitely. You brought up a good point, Alex, about last thing here before we transition into some quick hitters real fast. Jerome Tang, it's cute. It's funny right now. Everybody's on board. Everybody's hyped up right now, as we should be. But yeah, talking is one thing. My favorite phrase, doing it is another thing. I will still talk about this even more as the summer months come and go here on the podcast.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be competitive. Got to be in discussion. Got to be in discussion at least for a tournament bid of some sort. So, you got to do it. So, we'll see what happens. But definitely, Jerome Tang is definitely not afraid to speak his mind. That is for sure. So, we definitely have that on our side to look forward to. And in the middle of all of that, of course, going back to baseball real quick before I have a one note on the K-State football team. Last update here, because Oklahoma is on their way possibly to the next round here. Let's see. Jake Bennett has struck out 12 Texas Tech hitters, and he exited the game in the bottom of the seventh there. It is the bottom of the ninth right now, with Oklahoma still up by 5, the same score as it was about a half hour ago, 6-1 in K-State. Looks like definitely all roads back to Texas Tech again tomorrow night. So K-State obviously is going to be facing elimination yet again. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be Oklahoma moving on closer to the championship round, while Texas Tech is going to have to play that, see that purple, the Pearl Project Podcast. See what I do right there? More purple.
That's why you're the pro.
More purple right there. So definitely that game's almost over. And one quick note on the football team here. The offensive line is going to get a huge lift here for K-State. Connor Riley, the coach of this offensive line here, Taylor Portier, who missed all last year, he's going to be back this year. That is a huge plus. Read that in the news. Kellis Robinette, another shout out to him on this podcast tonight, this episode. So he's going to be back on there, and the offensive line is going to be loaded. Obviously, the talk coming out of the Texas Bowl was the K-State new look offense led by new OC. Colin Klein, former K-State quarterback, great in Heisman finalist there as well. So, yeah, K-State, obviously, will get, again, a lot to look forward to this summer, try diving on into this offense, but this is going to be really loaded. And Adrian did chat, again, going right back to that three-mile pod, John Kurtz, Cole Manbeck, and Derek Young. Adrian said he was throwing it around a little bit, swinging a little bit. So that's good news for K-State Nation, folks. So,
I just want to say, too, Taylor Portier was also in Kansas City at that Cat Backers event. He said that that he expects the offense to be an unstoppable force. Calling the play.
I think I read that, too. I read that somewhere.
An unstoppable force, Eddie. It's going to be an unstoppable offense, an unstoppable force. If they are an unstoppable force, I will thoroughly enjoy that season.
Yeah, that would be a fresh look to the eyes of K-State Nation, that's for sure. That, in the same sentence, who would never thought he'd see the light of day, obviously.
He said he predicted the Wildcats might even try a few trick plays.
Yeah, I read that too. Yep, uh-huh. Crazy. Yep, that's some crazy stuff. Yeah.
Gordon Messingham is nowhere to be seen right
now. No, he's not. And how fitting that one game can change the trajectory of this K-State, especially the K-State offense, for sure. Back to that Texas, if he doesn't screw that up, we might be sitting talking about still the same old lame offense, but here we are. LSU couldn't stop it at Texas Bowl, and if that's again, we keep repeating ourselves here, but we're hyping it up here a little bit in late May, as we still got quite a bit to go. Obviously, summer workouts around the corner for the K-State football team that is trying to get healthier, obviously, from not getting through a whole spring ball due to a lot of injuries, unfortunately. So hopefully they're with Adrian Martinez, hopefully everybody is getting better at this time, hopefully. So so that's something that get K-State fans something fresh to look forward to. Especially those three opponents right there at home with South Dakota, and maybe, I know I'm jumping the gun maybe a little bit here, but maybe Colin Klein and Chris Kleiman don't show all their tricks in that first three-game homestand right there with South Dakota and Missouri, obviously. Maybe you throw something against Missouri.
I feel like a bold prediction's coming with me on that one. But with Missouri, with Missouri and Tulane, I don't think they're going to show your full. I don't think they're going to show their full hand. Obviously, the trick you mentioned earlier tonight on the pod with the trick game with Tulane, and you have your big game with OU on the road the following week. I think either it's a bye week or the following week. I can't remember. I don't have the schedule pulled up in front of me at the moment.
I do have it up there. I don't think there's a bye week scheduled in there. I think they go straight into OU.
Hmm. All right. Okay.
No bye week, Eddie. No bye.
Interesting. Interesting enough. Yeah.
In fact, they don't have a bye until October 15th. Wow, that's a late bye.
That's pretty late right there.
That's a long time until a bye.
Yeah, in a squirrel alert, it is official. K-State's next opponent will be Texas Tech. Oklahoma had to hold Texas off there. Texas Tech trying to make a run there, but it was all stifled there. Oklahoma survives and advances. They have been yet to lose in this tournament. They hand Texas Tech their first loss of the tournament, 6-3. And it's an elimination game. Yeah, it is an elimination game, part two for K-State tomorrow night. 7 p.m. down at Globe Life Field Park, home of the Texas Rangers. There's the K-State will go right back to work and try to solve the riddle, which is trying to beat Texas Tech and try to knock them out of the Big 12 Phillips 66 tournament there. So no bye week. Again, back to football. So no bye week there. So I don't think they'll show everything between the South Dakota and Tulane. I think they'll probably have something for Oklahoma when that time comes. That's just my thought right there as well. So
I'm sure that they'll save some stuff. I think they'll pull some stuff out against Mizzou. I think the playbook will be pretty opening.
Yeah.
I still think that there's some stuff that Colin Klein would keep in his back pocket.
Yep.
For Oklahoma, especially Colin Klein. Look, Colin Klein knows that Oklahoma team really well. He obviously had played against them for 3 years. 3 years. With K-State, I'm trying to think of it. It might have technically been two. Either way, he's played against Oklahoma a lot, and he's coached against Oklahoma a lot. He knows that school well. He's beaten that school many times as well. So I think he'll have some stuff in his pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're on the same page. We're on the same page there as well. Quickly here to the weekend schedule here, which is filled with track and field news here. Now, with the baseball team surviving, and they will play Texas Tech tomorrow night after recording this podcast. It is 11:14 Central Time there, or here, I should say. And they will play Texas Tech at 7 tomorrow night. So when this podcast comes up, K-State will be, once again, playing for their tournament lives once again. So, and then, of course, we'll have a full recap of the game, win or lose, on Saturday morning of the Purple Project Podcast Daily Edition there as well. Track and field team continues their NCAA West preliminaries tomorrow afternoon. And then, of course, the nightcap with the K-State baseball team against Texas Tech there. And then day number three for the track and field team continues with their NCAA West preliminaries as well. And I did write this down on my odd diagram sheet here. I want to get that in here before we close the podcast. One of those individuals is advancing to the NCAA championships for K-State with the shot put, and that is Cade McCall. So I want to give him a shout out here on this podcast. Nicely well done with his big time throw earlier today. He's going to be advancing to the NCAA outdoor championships compete there as well, which is going to be next week, somewhere in there. Yeah, June. Actually, I have the date right in front of me. June 8th is the start of the NC Outdoor Championships. That's going to be, looks like, a 3-4 day event there. I have to look at more information on that there as well. So a busy, busy postseason here for the K-State track and field team here as they try to produce good results at the tournament as well. So definitely looking forward to seeing how well our track and field team does there as well. So busy, busy track and field, trying to close things down a strong note. K-State baseball once again looking to keep their hopes alive in the Big 12 Phillips 66 tournament there down there in Texas. Eddie Greer, Alex in the Purple Project Podcast, episode 101, brought to you tonight by AutoFest 2022. We're in the red zone. New, like that. New segment there to end the podcast. Obviously, usually it was out of bounds, but I figured let's just change the name because we're near the red zone and we're about to score a touchdown. Let's not kick a field goal. Let's knock it out with a touchdown. And the red.
Your motivational speaker.
In our red zone topic, what is the conference finals? The NBA finals are around the corner. They begin June 2nd, if I might be mistaken. And we know one half of the NBA finals, Golden State closes out, slams the door on Dallas tonight. Golden State returns to the NBA finals in a few years removed from it. What a job well done by Steve Kerr and that whole coaching staff there. Obviously, Klay Thompson battling not 1 year injuries, but 2 years of injuries there. He was red hot from the field tonight there, and his cast of characters, Steph Curry, Jordan Poole, who has been amazing in the postseason for Golden State, Draymond Green, and their cast of characters getting it done over Dallas there. Luka Doncic, he's going to need another player or two around him. But he's up there in my top five players right now in the postseason. But he's going to need a little bit more help there, obviously, if they're going to take that next step to get to the NBA Finals someday. But it's not their night tonight. Golden State going back to the NBA Finals there. And on the other side, it looks like, unless Miami decides to show up, Boston could be looking right down the barrel to clinch the East there as well. And Boston, to me, they're playing really, really good basketball, not just on the offensive side of the ball, with their veteran leaders of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. With those two guys, they've been playing lights out ball. But defensively, they have brought back a little bit of that old school defense. Remember KG, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo. They kind of brought that back a little bit, and it's shown. They have shut down Jimmy Butler and that crew there. And we talked a little bit about this, Alex, off air. Before I hit the record button, I mean, we've seen a lot of blowouts in this postseason, particularly these conference finals, especially on this side of the ball here with the Eastern Conference Finals. With one team, it's one night, shows up, and then the next night, they're out of the arena the next night. So, and I think Miami is in big trouble. The number one seed of the East, they're really, to me, showing no life. Going back to that game five real quick, and then, of course, I'll get your thoughts on that. Miami trailed by one in the third quarter, and all of a sudden, the wheels just came off. Oh, man, the wheels came off, and it was a Jaylen Brown show right after that, and Miami had no answer. It looked like they had no energy. So unless they can find that second win, like called the marathon, if they can find that second win, but I don't. I just have no idea right now. Miami has an answer. I really don't. So right now, the number one seed of the East in trouble. Boston has them on the ropes, and Boston has home court for Game 6 tomorrow night when the podcast goes up. We'll see if Boston can close out Miami there. But yeah, to me, the surprise is what we talked about, Alex, is the amount of blowouts that we've seen in these playoffs.
Yeah, the amount of blowouts has been crazy. Crazy in these playoffs from first round all the way to the conference final. First off, I agree with you about Boston. They have been on fire for, goodness gracious, Eddie, really the whole second half of the season. They were on fire. They started slow.
Yeah, real slow.
I was thinking the same type of thing as last year for them. I was like, oh man, they may end up like, 7 seed, 8 seed, like somewhere down there, and maybe out the first round again. And like, oh man, like they've got a new coach, but former Blazer, by the way, former Trailblazer. But they have a new head coach. He might still not a good look for them. And man, they really rode the ship. In fact, it was so bad. I was even like, as a Blazers fan, they were talking about like moves, because the Blazers were looking to try to do some big boy fishing this offseason, put it that way. And Jaylen Brown was one of the names exist. Some people were thinking, oh, maybe that's a guy they can go after. Well, not now. Not the way the Celtics have played.
No, not now. Anywhere. Hell no. Not now.
He is staying in Boston. And they've been on fire the second half of the season. They've been really good in the playoffs. They just looked good every round that they've been in. It started for them right out of the gates against the Nets, you know, and
they made that look easy.
They rose to the challenge, and they went toe to toe with that Nets team. That I think majority of people picked the Nets, even though it was 7-2 matchup, and they took them. They took care of them, and they were close games, but they were just a better team, man. They were just a better team than the Nets, and that was really impressive. Kind of right out of the gates, and then to come back from that, and be able to. Was it the Sixers that played the second round, or was it the Heat that played the Sixers?
No, it was the Heat played the Sixers, and the Bucks played the Celtics.
That's right, the Bucks. Yes, it was the Bucks.
The defending champions, no more.
The Bucks was the team I picked to win it all again. I thought that they would go back to back.
Yeah, they
Bucks out in six.
Yeah, they missed Chris Middleton in that series.
No, they did. And you were correct. The Celtics absolutely got a break with Chris Middleton going out.
Yeah.
If Chris Middleton didn't get hurt early in that series, I still think the Bucks would have won it. So that's a really good point, Eddie. But I could have seen the Bucks win that one in like seven. But, look, he wasn't there. And the Celtics took care of business. And they were able to defy Giannis and all the crazy things that Giannis is able to do. And so you're able to beat the Nets, then you beat the Bucks, and then you come out against the Heat, and now you're up 3-2 against the Heat. I mean, they've earned it. I mean, they've earned where they are at.
They earned it,
right now. And if they do move on to the NBA Finals, they're able to get to the Heat. They would be the favorite for me. They've just been the hottest team. They would be. And the Warriors, they've got that championship pedigree, and a lot of that championship pedigree is still there because you've got Clay, Steph, Draymond. I mean, that's the core, man. That's the core. The core is still there.
And also, I'll throw in a name in here for Golden State, kind of a forgotten one here. He hasn't been playing, obviously. Andre Iguodala is still there, still around.
Yeah, exactly. And he won Finals MVP.
Yep.
The first Finals they had. And Andrew Wiggins has been great for him.
Yep.
Been great for him out there in the Bay. But I get that they got the championship pedigree, and I get all that. I just like the Celtics. I just trust them more right now than I do the Warriors. As crazy as it sounds, with the Warriors having that championship pedigree and getting going, I just trust the Celtics more. So if the Celtics do advance and get to the NBA Finals, I think that they will be my pick. And then if the Heat are able to pull the big upset and come back, which nothing would surprise me in these playoffs, Eddie, because
they'll
probably win by 40. If they do,
that's
the way the playoffs.
That's what's been going.
Every single game is a blowout. It's unbelievable. I've never seen an NBA playoffs quite like it. It's pretty boring, to be 100% honest. But anyway, if the Heat make it, then I think the Warriors would be the team that I would pick in that instance. At that point, I would take the Warriors' experience and championship pedigree and kind of what Wiggins has done over what the Heat have done. Granted, the Heat were in the NBA Finals in the bubble.
They were. A lot of people forget that. They were.
Exactly. I think a lot of people forget it. They were. So they have been there. They've got some championship pedigree there, too.
Yeah, some of those players from the bubble are still there.
They are, exactly. And Jimmy Butler leading the way.
Yep.
So I mean that would be a really both would be good series. I think that's the cool thing is that I don't think it's a lopsided series one or the other. I think you're going to get a good series regardless. So Dallas kind of felt like the outlier to me. They had Luka, it was all great, and they pulled that amazing series off against the Suns in seven. But
I'm still stunned. I'm still stunned by that.
I know it still felt like the Suns were the better team, and I don't know how Dallas got through it, to be 100% honest, but they did. Kudos to them. But I just didn't think they had a shot.
They just ran out, yep. Uh-huh.
I didn't think they had a shot against the Suns. They found a way. Kudos to them. That was, like I said, that was an amazing job by them, but I just didn't think they could duplicate it against the Warriors, and they couldn't. And I just don't think they could have duplicated it against the Heat or the Celtics either, so... they were kind of like the outlier team. But yeah, you put Golden State up against either one of those Eastern teams. I think you got a good NBA Finals coming your way that will probably be full of upsets. Probably full of low upsets. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be game one will probably be like 105 to 82 or something like that. And then game two will be 110 to 80 like for the other team. And we'll get a watch of that. But that's kind of my prediction. To make it back off what you said, the blowouts, I saw a stat on how many games have been separated by like 15 points or more this postseason, and it was just insane. And it's just you see the number, and you're like, how's that possible in the playoffs? How many games are like decided by 15 points or more? But it was a big number. It was a big number. So it has not been the most entertaining playoffs, but I do think that we are in store for entertaining finals.
Yeah, I'm right there with you as well. Assuming, when the podcast goes up, we're going to have a couple things going on, obviously. K-State will be in battle with Texas Tech in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston trying to close out the number one seed of the East. Miami off tomorrow night. They can get that job done. It'll be a good series. But if not, if Miami somehow wakes up from their long nap, and win game six, and then they'll have the home court advantage for game seven. And you know how those game sevens can go. It can go either way.
I'll say this too. Boston is 40-4 in closeout games.
Look at that stat.
One of those four losses were to the Heat. One of those four was to the Heat. It was actually back when the Heat had LeBron, so they don't have LeBron anymore. But still, just saying.
That is an interesting stat of the night, stat of the week of this podcast, right there. Yeah. So they can't bring LeBron back. They're gonna have to do it with Jimmy Butler.
LeBron and D Wade are gone.
They're gone. Yeah, they're definitely gone. That's for sure. They're gonna have to do it with a different cast of characters. They're gonna get back to Miami and bring Boston with them for a potential game seven, but we'll have to see what happens, because right now Boston has all of the momentum. Episode 101 of the Purple Project Weekly, almost to the finish line here, and obviously we got Major League Baseball going on, NHL playoffs also still going on as well, so this is kind of a favorite time of this part of the year where you have a lot of playoffs going on. Now you have the NBA reaching its almost limit, its championship pinnacle there. We have one more team to decide there on the Eastern Conference side. Meanwhile, NHL playoffs have been crazy as well. That is starting to dwindle as well, about to approach East Finals and West Finals status, if I'm not mistaken there. But yeah, a lot going on outside of the little bubble of the Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas as well. Baseball staying alive. And of course, if K-State does get past Texas Tech tomorrow morning, Oklahoma will be waiting for them 12:30 Central Time. So Oklahoma is in the semifinals with no losses. Keep that in mind, K-State Nation. So K-State has their work cut out for them tomorrow morning. I go to work. It's Texas Tech, so that's going to be an elimination game right there. So the loser of that game, season over. And of course, Texas Tech, I think, is in the running for a regional spot there as well. K-State, obviously, was well documented on this episode. They're going to have to win all out. They're going to have to just win. They can't lose, or they're pretty much done for 2022 as well. So we'll see about that. Obviously, we'll have reaction to it over the weekend of the baseball team, again, win or lose there as well. Alex, sir, any final thoughts here on this episode tonight?
Yeah, just quickly with DQ2, if they do lose, I think he will officially be sitting down on a hot seat. I'm just saying that Pete Hughes had a great year last year, but it's been disappointing. And like I said, we can get into this when the season's over.
Oh yeah, we'll get into it. Yeah, we'll get into it.
I do think that he does begin to enter hot seat territory next year. Look, I think they'll just need to produce. You know, I think they'll just need to produce and do more. Get better on the road and to be more competitive in the conference. Can't go 8-16 in conference play, but which is what they did this year. But you never know. PTUs, maybe he says, you know what, I'm never going to see a hot seat. I'm going to go and I'm going to beat Oklahoma. I'm going to beat Texas Tech, then I'm going to beat Oklahoma, and I'm going to go beat Oklahoma again. And I'm just going to win this whole thing. We're going to go to the park, and the joke's going to be on you, Alex. So maybe that's what we'll do. And I'm here for
it. Well, I'll see. Well, I'll see about that.
Go beat Tech. Go beat OU. Go beat OU again. And then I don't even know. Would they have a game? They still might have a game after that.
They'll have a game after that. Yeah, it'll be the championship game. Yep. They'll still have to win the championship. Yeah. Yep.
I feel pretty comfortable that I won't be there. But I hope I am. I would love to see KC go win the Big 12 title. And be proven wrong. I would be 100% here for it, and to be made fun of last time for that. But yeah, good episode, Eddie. Why is it still weird here on 101? But that's okay. I just hope you have a good Memorial Day weekend. Hope all of us have a good Memorial Day weekend, and remember, obviously the meaning behind it. Honor those men and women who fought for our country and really give the ultimate sacrifice. So it takes a little time to remember them over the long weekend and enjoy it with whoever whoever you were with this weekend.
Yes, that is well said. And also, I'll just throw in here real quick. Also, be thinking about also those who've been affected by another horrible tragedy down there in the state of Texas down there with all those involved. Very, very sad. Yeah, pretty much awful. I have no other words to describe what went down a couple of days ago down there in Texas. So, we have to keep all those also in mind, as well as the soldiers, as well as this country, as well. This is more Memorial Day weekend. This sad stuff, man, going on.
Yeah, and it's a copycat. It's also a copycat world. There's six schools in San Diego that got put on lockdown because of threats, school shootings. And so, unfortunately, people are, whether it's pranks or not, people are using the opportunity as well to piggyback and strike fear and even more people, which is also sick. So it's all just really sick and sad. And prayers to, there's so many people who need prayer right now. And just, prayers to them. And, hopefully we can, rise together as a country and get through it. But it's tough, man. Can't even imagine.
Yep. And kind of a weird transition in on a lighter note. Yeah, back to what you said with the K-State baseball team. That would be pretty something in case they goes on that run. Yeah. But they have their work cut out for them right off the bat tomorrow morning. And then if they can escape, somehow eliminate Texas Tech, which is, feels like for some reason they're overdue for one. Are way overdue for one. They've been close, too many close losses against this team. Seems to be a nightmare. This team eliminated last year, and it's revenge time. They can get by them. I think it'll be a huge weight off their shoulders, but then they'll have to play Oklahoma, which has not lost in this tournament yet. So, but first things first.
They have.
You mentioned that already, so, man.
It might be a tiny glimmer, but there is a glimmer there.
Oh man. Yep. Tiny Glove Derby Bowl.
People are gonna let me listen to this on Friday evening, like just once that their KJ will be out. They'll be like, yeah, she just wasted like 25 minutes.
We just wasted a lot of time. We just wasted a lot of time in case they are just telling me. It's all right.
It's still.
Yeah, we got to entertain the fans. Give the fans what they want. Right. Yep, give the fans what they want. Well, tonight's edition of the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition, episode 101 in the books this evening, presented to you by AutoFest 2022. Manhattan, Kansas, coming here to the Little Apple this August the 6th, 2022, the inaugural Rally in the Valley. Behind Dream Car Collection Museum in the parking lot. Everything will start at 8 a.m. And of course, also with that, the Youth Power Wheel Show will be also be there as well, presented to you by Hot Wheels. And registration for this event, $10 per vehicle. And for those of you outside the state or inside the state of Kansas, listening area, Junction City, Waumego, Topeka, Kansas City, I can go on and on. You know the drift here. Spectators are free to enjoy the hot rods of the collection of cars that will be there as well. And all proceeds to benefit the JCI Senate Foundation, which is, again, those of you who don't know, a nonprofit organization. Scholarships as well. And, of course, another reminder, there will be a separate episode. I will be doing a sit-down episode with this group, so I'm looking forward to that as well. I have to look at my schedule and get that scheduled as well, so that will be a separate episode. I don't know what number it will be, but it will be in the hundreds. So, what's this thing? That is a safe bet. Exactly, that is a safe bet, sir. Wow, so a jam-packed edition tonight coming to the close. The checker flag has waved on episode 101 and pending on a special guest, obviously, digging into my contacts here. If we don't have a special guest, I'm pretty sure we'll have more content to come on this podcast next week. So, and then obviously, speaking of special guests, we'll have some more special guests this summer. So that's been one added element that I've enjoyed, whether it's current K-State athletes or former, just getting to know their backgrounds and some of the stories that they share on this podcast so far, obviously. And speaking of which, gotta get Keithan back on the show.
Hey, dude, you know, we need to keep him back on for the NIL discussion. I feel like he would have good NIL insights.
I think he will. So we'll bring him back this summer, as well as hopefully bring back a few other guests as well. Some new guests on the show as well. So a lot to look forward to, sir. Yes, and I echo the same words, Alex. Enjoy Memorial Day weekend. K-State Nation, you guys do the same thing. Alex will be back to do this again next week.
I look forward to it, Eddie.
Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!